If you need mustard for that corned beef you're making, get Colleen's Irish Mustard. Colleen's Irish Mustard unites mustard haters and mustard lovers from around the world. Currently, Colleen's Irish Mustard has 3 flavors in mild, regular, and spicy. For more information on Colleen's Irish Mustard, visit www.irishmustard.com. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of the 100% Sports Podcast. I am your host, Ryan Glinski, and my partner alongside me, Nathan Sable. Again, he's at Central Michigan today. Big college man. What's it like up at Labor Day weekend at a college university in 2020 in America?
Well, under normal circumstances, I would probably expect most people to stay here because it'd be like one weekend. But since we're almost a month in, about half the campus decided to leave for the weekend. So, yeah, I probably should have came home this weekend. But I'm going home next weekend instead. But, no, it's different up here for sure. It's a lot less things going on. It's odd, man. It's very odd, especially on a day like today when it's
that a perfect college football
week. That cool 65 degrees, windy sweatshirt day where it's like, oh, my God. Let's just go tailgate and go down to the football field. But I don't know.
Yeah, so when I woke up this morning, I swear I thought it was a Saturday. Like, I'm not even going to lie. Just because of, like, you know, the breeze and everything and just the weather outside. And I go, crap, it's only Friday. Yeah. And then I go, and then I went into nostalgic mode and I rewatched, like, all the college game day intros.
Oh, jeez.
I watched those music videos, and man, I gotta say, it has gotten worse every single time they've redone those intros. 2011 was spectacular, and then they added, like, a whole bunch of different people, and it just ruins the song. Like, just keep the, I think it's like, I don't even know who they are. I don't think they've ever created an actual song other than that. I know one dude's name is Rich, but man, the group who made that song was fantastic, and then they added a whole bunch of add-ons, and it sucks.
Well, like, I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't really turn College Game Day on until 11 o'clock, and that's about it. I always look forward to see what they're going to eat because, you know, they always got food, and then the picks.
Man, I always watch the beginning because that's when everything's so hype, and then you just have them talking about each and every game, like their takes. Their hot takes on all the games.
You get up at 9 o'clock?
I kind of get up at 9 o'clock because my dad blasts the intro music.
Oh, my God, bro. And then, I try getting up before 11.
And then, plus, I'm just used to getting up to school at that time. Like, up at 5 or, like, I don't know, maybe, like, 6 o'clock. And I'm just used to that getting up normal at that time.
You know,
so that's why I'm up.
One positive thing coming out of this online thing, I guess, is I have class on Fridays at 9 o'clock, and I woke up at 8:55 today. So,
wow,
that's kind of nice, just getting out of bed and putting the laptop on and getting ready for class.
You're technically not late, so.
No, I'm not, yeah. Plus, attendance doesn't really matter much, but, you know, you'll get behind if you don't attend.
Speaking of college football, there has been college football games on the last few weeks. Yesterday, I believe it was Southern Alabama. I'm drawing a blank on the other team. But all I remember was Frank Gore Jr. was playing in that game.
I didn't watch last night. I remember I watched last week. I think it was Austin Peay in Central Arkansas.
Yes.
And, you know, it's wild because I think it was, or not Central Arkansas, but Austin Peay, who's only having 3 games the whole year. It's like, what the heck? But, you know, it's not the same, but it's a little bit of football. You know, obviously college football without fans and without the bands and stuff that would just make the atmosphere great. That's, I don't know. But there will be college football to some extent this year, at least.
Yeah, Southern Alabama beat Southern Miss 32-21. Frank Gore Jr. was on Southern Miss.
Frank
just,
Gore.
Dude. It's just crazy to think Frank Gore Sr. is playing in the NFL still, and his son is a freshman in college. That's crazy.
Yeah, that guy's a madman. I don't know how the hell he's still playing, especially since he's a running back. Like, that's usually an 8-year career, and what is he? I don't even know what year he's on, but he's been around forever.
I think he's like 36, something like that.
Oh, my God.
And remember, running backs are ticking time bombs.
Yes, yes. I'm glad you quoted somebody who says that all the time.
Yes, that would be you. But anyway, we'll get more into the NBA and the NHL. But first, as promised last week, we had a Fast Five question that Nathan brought up to me and said Coke or Pepsi, and I couldn't decide. So, in front of me right now, I have a can of Coke, and then I have a bottle of Pepsi. So, I will pop open both of them, and I'll tell you what I should, what my choice will be. And Nathan, I hope you don't get too attached to me opening up a can of Coke, because you get really excited when it comes to that.
Yeah, nothing better than opening up a can of Coke, not the bottle. The bottle's not as exciting. You got to get that pop, you know, sound when you open up the can. It's
all right, better, here goes Coke number one, or not Coke number one, but the can of Coke. Nathan, did you get pretty excited there?
Yes, that was very, very nice.
So there's a sip of Coke.
I can't believe we're doing this.
That one was pretty solid. But now here comes the bottle of Pepsi that I purchased from Walgreens like a half hour ago. Ooh, that did sound good though. Here goes the Pepsi. Nah, I'm still going Coke.
Ah, there we go. We got a good American man here. Now we're talking.
Don't get me wrong, Pepsi's still good though. But yeah, I think I'd have to go with Coke. But if it was the cherry flavor, I would go cherry Pepsi. That's for sure.
All right, fair enough. I honestly don't care which one you pick. It's just you got to pick one.
Yeah, but man, that was good. That was some good stuff.
Don't throw it out. You got to drink it.
I might toss this, but I don't know. I'm going to have another sip of Coke. Hold up. Before we get into the NBA and NHL.
Yes, tastes good, especially with a nice burger. Mm.
All right. Anyway, I got some NBA headlines. Nathan will get the NHL ones shortly after, but man, the NBA playoffs this year have been crazy. Bubble ball has been almost as good as March Madness, but March Madness will never be topped. But man, it's like it's starting to fill the void of March Madness not being there this March and April, because it's in both months. But it has been spectacular. Especially the Rockets versus Thunder was amazing to watch. The drama with the Nuggets and the Jazz coming down to the wire, where Donovan Mitchell, like 15 seconds left, drive, gets his pocket picked. Jamal Murray passes it to Craig, bricks the layup, and then the Jazz push it down the other end, and then Mike Conley, Rick shoots up a three to win it, and it goes in and out. It was a crazy ending. Did you watch that at all?
Yeah, I did. I was watching the last couple of games of that series, and it was just amazing back and forth. And, you know, there's no way – I don't know. It seems both teams are kind of even. And then, as you pointed out, I know we're not there yet, but in the pre-show when we were talking, that Nuggets team was tired last night.
Yeah, the Nuggets, they were tired after that 7-game series. Back and forth, dramatic, dramatic finish. Of course, with the Jazz, just 3 days ago at the time of this recording. And then, of course, the Clippers had that 6-game series with the Mavericks, and they had extended period of time off, so the Clippers were a little bit fresh. And if the Mavs had Kristaps, that series would have gone to 7, 100%. The series would have gone to 7, but Kristaps unfortunately got injured, and the Clippers just had too much firepower for the Mavs. And they ended up advancing. And now it's the Clippers up 1-0 against the Jazz. But I think the Clippers will go 2-0, and then the Jazz will just have to slowly get back into it. Because a series like that, 7 games, and then just having to play right away against the number 2 seed, the Clippers, with the amount of depth they have and fire and star power with Kawhi Leonard, that's going to be so tough to just even get a few wins against the team. But yeah, that's about it. But I'm going to get into the headlines real quick. Ja Morant won Rookie of the Year. It was almost unanimously, but one guy voted for Zion Williamson.
Oh, jeez.
Zion only played like 20 games.
Yeah, I know. I was watching that last night on Inside the NBA when they were interviewing him. And he goes, you got one person voted for Zion. It's like, oh, come on, man. You had to ruin it. It could have been unanimous.
Yeah. And Ja was the third pick to the Grizzlies. Because it went Zion, RJ, who plays for the Knicks, and he probably won't see the playoffs as long as he's in the Knicks, and he's in New York. But Ja Morant, 17.8 points per game, 7.3 assists, and 47.7% from the field. And man, this guy can throw it down with all the crazy dunks that we've seen the highlights. Even when he was at Murray State, he was a high flyer. But the next headline we have is, he should be a Detroit Piston, but instead we took Luke Kennard. Donovan Mitchell, a.k.a. Spida, he made NBA history against the Nuggets in the series with most three-pointers made in a series, 33. And that also, Jamal Murray in that series had 32. So those guys were going back and forth. I feel like the Pistons probably could have had Jamal Murray too.
But yeah, you know, and really quick, in watching that series, because there was like three straight games when Murray and Mitchell went like over 30 or 40 points. Mm-hmm. And just watching Donovan go off, it's just like another stab.
Why couldn't we have that?
Another stab to the heart, you know. He's just going off, and it's like, yeah, we have Luke Kennard. Yay.
And a few more crazy stats with Donovan Mitchell that will just make it feel even worse, is that he is one of eight players in NBA history with 36 points per game in a playoff series.
Jeez.
Or averaged in total playoffs. My bad. He only played one series, but still averaging 36 points per game.
That's insane. In theory,
crazy. You want to know who's on that list?
Yeah, let me hear it.
Michael Jordan, Jerry West, Elgin Baylor, those names.
That's a good list to be on.
Yeah, and guess what? He could be a Piston, but guess what? No, we kept Luke Kennard.
Well, so could Devin Booker, you know.
Yeah, we took Stanley Johnson instead. Oh, my. Yeah. So many questionable picks. And Darko Milicic, too. Jesus. Anyway.
Let's get away from that.
Yeah, and don't worry. I'm not even done with Donovan Mitchell yet. He's the first player in NBA history with 35-plus points per game, 50-plus field goal percentage, 50-plus three-point percentage, and 90-plus free throw percentage in a series.
My God.
Guy's an animal.
Yeah.
And he's about to get the Supermax from Utah, which they better give him.
Yeah, he deserves it. He's their franchise player for sure.
Yeah, that's just such a stab to the heart. And it's not like we're going to get a top pick anytime soon either, because the lottery hates everyone.
It's okay. We'll just keep losing. You know, it's fun.
Steve Yzerman will take us to the promised land. Don't worry.
He will. I have confidence.
And the surprise team in this playoffs is the Miami Heat, which I'll touch on a little bit later in the show. We'll go a little bit of a deeper dive, and including the Jazz. I'll go a little deeper dive later on. With the Miami Heat taking a 2-0 series lead over the number one seeded Bucks. And to me, it looks like the Bucks need more help. Giannis and Chris Middleton, Brooke Lopez has been phenomenal as well, especially his corner threes. I mean, he doesn't make threes unless it's in the corner. But I think Bledsoe needs to go a little bit. I think they need another guy. And the thing with the Heat is they have so many, they're so deep, they have so many guys they can rotate in. The intensity that Jimmy Butler's bringing to the team, and they're so young, I think the Heat are going to end up winning this series. They're just playing the way they're playing. I really think they do. And Chris Paul, 35 years old, of course, the Thunder lost to the Rockets in 7 yesterday. He shot 49% from the field and 37% from 3, averaged 21 points per game, 7 assists per game. and or excuse me, 5 assists per game in that series. Man, that dude's doing at 35. I did not think he was that good, but he showed that in the series. And the last one, Celtics versus the Raptors. Celtics are winning 2-1. And Kyle Lowry, of all people, yesterday, if you did not see that buzzer beater, which I'm sure, Nathan, I'm sure you saw.
Oh, right? Yeah. I was watching that. That was crazy.
The Celtics put Taco Fall, all 7'7" of him.
Stupid mistake.
Stupid mistake of what?
Putting Taco in, man. Did you see? When he was blocking, all right?
Why would you not put him in? Him on the inbounder. You just put him on the inbounder.
He was moving around too much. He's, like, dancing around. That gives Lowry the chance to look and come open. If you see Taco, he's, like, dancing around, moving around. He should have just stood still and then, like, you know, but.
It's not a dumb move on Brad Stevens' part.
Let me put it to you this way. The Celtics lost that game. Toronto didn't win that game because Toronto has not been great, especially with their three-point shooting this whole series. So, man, they got – I don't want to say it's luck because, you know, sometimes you do need a little bit of luck. But that buzzer beater yesterday helps them out a lot. I still think Boston's going to win, but they need to step up their game, especially their three-point shooting.
Yes, but I think it was a smart move by Brad Stevens to put Taco Fall. Did Taco Fall maybe mess up the play? Possibly. But Taco Fall, putting 7'7" dude on a small point guard like that on an inbound pass where the inbounder can't move. I mean, don't get me wrong, that's one heck of a pass to go all the way across court to Anunoby, who hit the buzzer beater. But man, I don't know how he did that. I think maybe he's got some Patrick Mahomes in him or something. But, man, that was a dime.
Yeah, that was a perfect throw. I mean, that was to do it over a 7-foot Taco Fall, that was pretty damn good.
And anyway, last, and I got a little take here. Whoever wins the Celtics and the Raptors are winning the East and going to the NBA Finals. Not saying they're going to win the Finals, but they're gonna win the East and go to the finals.
I like that bold take.
And I was continuing on the Celtics versus Raptors. On average, the difference between the teams is 4 points. So what a series this one has turned out to be. But Nathan, I'm gonna turn it over to the NHL.
All right, we got some NHL headlines to cover. The biggest thing, obviously, coming out of all of this is we have 3 Game Sevens in the matter of today and tomorrow, which is insane.
Woo!
Yeah, 3 Game 7s. Hell yeah, I'm watching. But before we get to those 3 series, we're going to talk about Tampa Bay, who's finally maybe actually have a chance to win the Cup this year. They look good. They didn't get swept out in the first round like they did last year. After the first couple of games against Boston, they pretty much dominated them throughout the series. They move on to the conference finals. So it may finally be time for Tampa Bay to get back to the finals and win a Cup. Obviously, they made it there 5 years ago and lost to the Blackhawks. But, man, they are looking, as far as I've seen, they look like the best team and the team to beat. So that's out of the East. And then we go to these 3 series, which is insane. All 3 Game 7s. And if you look at it, okay, we got Dallas and Colorado, Vancouver, Vegas, and the Islanders and the Flyers. In all 3 of those series, Dallas was up 3-1, Vegas was up 3-1. And the Islanders were up 3-1. And all those 3 of those teams have lost 2 in a row now to get the series tied at 3.
Dang.
And it's insane because you look at something like, okay, the Islanders and Flyers. The Flyers have not played good at all, like, throughout the playoffs. They just seemed to, like, get lucky at certain moments. And last night's game is pretty much a definition of it. They were outshot 60-something to 30. It went into double overtime, and the Flyers won. All 3 games the Flyers have won in that series were in overtime.
I'm trying to give a good comparison. That's like in soccer when someone parks the bus for an entirety of 8 of the entire game, and they have like 2 chances, and they score 1, and they end up winning 1-0 while the other team has like 30 shots and they don't win. That's the definition of that game.
Yeah, but and it's been crazy because the Islanders are by far the dominant team. Like, it's not even close. But
yeah,
they get into overtime and it's like the Flyers win all 3 games. The Flyers have won in OT. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see how that one pans out.
Yeah, soccer and hockey, they're kind of like weird sports in a way like that, because say in football, I don't know, an 0-15 team is playing a 15-0 team. You could play good for a quarter, but there's still three quarters to go, and there's different sides of the ball, just like in basketball. A league can change just like that, and in hockey and soccer, you can have so many chances, but they just won't fall for you. That's where those sports are a little strange in that aspect.
Yeah, and it's crazy. And now as I look at the Dallas and Colorado series, like I said, Dallas was up 3-1, and they've lost twice in a row to Colorado. And Colorado's beaten them pretty handedly, 6-3 and then 4-1. And, you know, I don't know if it's that mentality that, you know, you're up 3-1, and it's like, okay, you're so close, you got him where you want him, you're going to win.
The Jazz did choke a 3-1 lead to the Nuggets.
Yeah, so it's crazy because they really haven't shown up much in those past couple games. And then I go over to the other series, Vegas and Vancouver, and it's another example of how shots on goal don't mean crap in hockey, because Vegas was
just like in soccer.
In game 5, Vancouver wins 2-1. Vancouver only had 17 shots on goal the whole game. Vegas had 43. So it's amazing when you get that new goalie in who's insane. And then Vancouver comes in and shuts out Vegas 4-0 with 48 shots on goal Vegas had. Vancouver only had 23 in the last game. It's insane. So you get a hot goalie coming in who, by the way, this guy came out of nowhere. Like, their starting goaltender of the year, I think he got hurt, so he's not even in. It's amazing how you can get that hot player who comes out and then just turns the whole direction for your team. It's crazy. But no, other than that, just 3 game 7s. I'm excited. We got 2 today. We got 1 tomorrow night. We're going to find out by tomorrow night who's going to be in the conference finals. It's exciting. I know a lot of people aren't into hockey, especially this time of the year. I'm not going to lie. It is kind of hard to watch at times. But, man, if you like Game 7 action, you got to check it out.
Yeah, the only thing that matters is that scoreline at the end of the game. Only stat that matters.
Yep, that's all that matters.
Not the shots or shots on goal or whatever. Shots on target.
You know, you mentioned you're talking about soccer and hockey. I think the biggest comparison would be like in soccer when you have a team that has like 76% possession throughout the game, but the other team was so good on the counterattack that they end up winning 1-0 or something.
Yeah, that's true. And the thing with soccer is possession doesn't mean a whole lot. I know people like, I mean, sometimes I'll look into that, but possession doesn't tell the whole story, where you could just pass around the ball through the back line in the midfield and just not do anything with it. So possession doesn't tell the whole story. It might tell you half the story, but the counterattack, that's what can hit them. You got some fast guys out on the wing. You got a midfielder who can drop dimes. Man, that's how you hit them on the counterattack. That's how you upset some teams.
Yeah, that's true.
Or if you're like Arsenal and Liverpool, you just press them and you hope that the defenders and goalie make a mistake and you pounce on it. That's how you win.
Oh, jeez. Had to go there.
I had to. Arsenal's been looking so promising the last month.
They have been. I ain't got nothing against them.
I'm so excited for that. Arteta's the man. And
really quick, I know this is off topic, but with Chelsea and getting, what, 4 or 5 new players, don't you think it's going to kind of hurt them instead of help them in some aspect?
Yes, I have been thinking about that the last few days, where so many young dudes who came in last year. I know the Thiago Silva signing is going to help them a lot, and I know Ben Chilwell signing is going to help them a lot too. But, you can't pass on a guy like Havertz. And the Werner thing, $50 million for that man of a quality, and they needed a clinical striker, because I don't think Abraham or big man Giroud was going to do anything, was going to be the guy that gets them over the top. So I could understand the Werner one. Havertz, I mean, you can't pass on a dude that's 21. You're banging a lot of potential on that guy. He's played well, but I know a lot of young dudes like Mount, Reece James, Callum Hudson-Odoi, of course, big man Christian Pulisic, Billy Gilmore, all those guys. That's the thing that's worrying me about Chelsea is all these players who played last year, substantial minutes, and now Lampard's playing the new signings, the new boys, a lot more. What's going to happen there? Is there going to be some turmoil? For Chelsea, I think it's going to either be really bad or really good. Just one of the two. They're not going to have an okay season. It's either going to go really good or really bad.
All right, fair enough. Well, interesting to see how that pans out.
Yeah, it really will, but I'm super excited for this Premier League season. I know Messi won't be joining Man City at all, but... ooh,
honestly, not surprised by that one.
$700 million, no one's paying that. Yeah, yeah, especially after Corona.
They're not going to be able to afford to get him.
Yeah, but coming up in the show, I'll take a deeper dive into the Miami Heat, the Utah Jazz teams, and we'll, of course, have the Fast Five. And so you don't want to go away. All right, everybody, welcome back to the second part, the second half of the 100% Sports Podcast. I said that I was going to dive a little bit deeper on two NBA teams in particular, the Miami Heat and the Jazz, just because it just brought to my attention just some of these teams. I'm going to start off with the Miami Heat, which after these two games that I've really put on notice, after the two games that they beat the Bucks by, up 2-0 currently in the Eastern Conference semifinals, and I'm just looking at it and I just realized they got some good young talent. They're deep. They got good veteran. They have their superstar, Jimmy Butler. And then I looked at the contract situation. And we have Jimmy Butler, 30 years old. He's got 4 years, of course, player option, fourth year, which basically every single NBA superstar has. And then Goran Dragic, 34 years of age. This is his final year of his deal. And he is still averaging. He's still putting up some decent numbers, 16 points a game. And the only questionable contract that I have is Andre Iguodala. He's 36 years old, still has 3 more years, and he's making $15 million a year. So that takes him up till 39, and Iguodala's not going to be a LeBron James where he's putting up 25-plus points a game. This guy's a bench player, and you're putting $15 million towards him. I don't know. It's a little questionable contract there. But I do like this guy, Jay Crowder, 30 years of age, and guess what? He is on his last year, so I imagine they'll re-sign him. He's been good off the bench in the last few games that I've watched. And now we get to the interesting part. 4 guys on rookie deals, and that's Tyler Hero, who is still only 20 years. He's a true rookie. He was drafted last year, who I would have liked the Pistons to draft, but they took Sekou, and Sekou's looking fine. So that doesn't hurt as much as Donovan Mitchell's and Luke Kennard right now. But he's 20 years old. He's got 4 years left on his rookie deal. So remember, rookie deals, they're making like a maximum of like $5 million a year. Unless you're like the number one overall pick, top five pick, which none of these guys are. 2 of them are undrafted. Bam Adebayo, he's got 2 years left on his rookie deal, 23 years old, and he was an all-star this year. And then we have Kendrick Nunn from Oakland University, if you're a local here from Michigan. And he's on a 2-year, he's got 2 years left on his rookie deal. And then the sharpshooter himself, Duncan Robinson, who's 26 years old, he's got 2 years left on his current rookie deal. But the Heat do have no first-round picks, or no picks at all in 2021 and 2023. So there's that. And the question is will there be a ring in Miami? You know, we haven't seen one since the LeBron, Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade days. And ever since LeBron left, they've gone on a decline. But I think it was three years that they missed the play. I'd say maybe 3 years where they missed the playoffs, I think. Don't quote me on that. But they've been on a slow decline ever since LeBron left. And it looks like they're going to come back up with the young core that they have, Hero, Bam Adebayo, Kendrick Nunn, and Duncan Robinson. And you got veteran talent around like Jay Crowder, Goran Dragic, Jimmy Butler. I had some guys off the bench. But will they bring a championship to Miami? I don't know. I think they might be 2 pieces away. Maybe they get it. They maybe splash some name in free agency. I don't know. Could it be a Giannis? Probably not. But who knows? But we've seen crazier things happen, like Kevin Durant go to the Warriors.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I think, you know, obviously when you think of the Miami Heat, you think about Jimmy Butler. But you talk about, like, veteran presence mixed with young presence. And I know you talked about that Andre Iguodala contract, which it is questionable, but I think he's more there as a locker room guy. Obviously, with the Warriors, he was kind of that guy off the bench, locker room guy. He has that experience with winning the championships with Golden State. But you talk about these young guys, Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson. I mean, you're a Michigan fan. Was he even really much of a starter when he played for Michigan?
Well, first off, Doris Burke had no idea what she was talking about when she was referring to Duncan Robinson in the last Bucks game. But
why did she mess up on him or something when talking about him?
Yes, both of the commentators did. So they go, when you're Duncan Robinson she was talking about Duncan Robinson and like his journey and stuff, and she states, man, Duncan Robinson, he never got his number called when he was at Michigan. And I go,
what?
What are you talking about? This dude knocked down 8 threes in a game, and they constantly called his number.
Okay, wait, before you go on, I don't watch much college basketball, but when I watched Michigan play, whether it was March Madness or Michigan State, I firmly remember Duncan Robinson out there knocking down threes and stuff. So I don't know what she was talking about.
I know, and then they're saying that this guy wasn't much of a factor in his Michigan career. And I'm going, his sophomore year, which was his first year playing for them, he was a bit of a factor, but he was mainly just a shooter, and he didn't have much of a that was only this only good aspect of the game of his game. And then he did get, I wouldn't say he was, when you hear the word benched, what, Nathan, would you agree with me when you hear the word benched that you mean you just don't play?
Yeah, like when you say someone gets benched, that means like you did something to piss off the coach to where it's like, yeah, you're not playing.
Yeah. And you know, people go, yeah, his last year at Michigan, Duncan Robinson was benched. No, he wasn't. He won the dang sixth man of the year in the Big Ten. He was not benched. He moved to the bench, but without Duncan Robinson, I can firmly tell you that they do not win the Big Ten tournament. And that would have screwed up the entire tournament run that they made to the finals, where they lost to Villanova in the championship game, where they don't win that game. The first game against Iowa, they don't play for another 2 weeks. So imagine how sloppy that is. So I can tell you, Duncan Robinson was given, Beeline called his number 4 or 5 times a game. And that just irritated me the most. Doris.
Come on. I like Doris Burke. She's good at what she does. I think they just played that up so they, you know, they give the credit to the Miami scouting staff and finding the right guy.
True.
But no, just to get back, that mix of young talent, veteran presence, it's key. And like they're up 2-0 in the series, and they look dominant. They do look like the better team so far. So
they're intense. The intensity that they bring, it starts with Jimmy Butler bringing a different intensity to the team, and it's really just sprinkling off to each and every player that they wanted. That's what I see most from the Heat.
Yeah, and another thing they brought up the other night in the broadcast, which, you know, I've always thought about this. I'm like, Eric Spoelstra's been there forever. And they said,
yes,
he's a second longest tenured coach.
I thought the same exact thing.
It's like, yeah, I'm like, I was thinking too, I'm like, he's been there for how long? And they talked about that. I'm like, wow, that's crazy. You know, obviously, Greg Popovich is the longest coach at San Antonio. But yeah, they got something brewing down there in Miami. I would not be shocked if they made it to the finals this year.
Yeah, neither would I. But I still think the Celtics, I think they'll get through and they'll make the finals.
Yeah, I think the Celtics are the better all-around team so far. But, yeah, it's tough competition, man. It's not like you know which team's going for sure. Like with Cleveland a couple years ago with LeBron, it's fun.
Yeah, last year in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the last team that I want to talk about is the Utah Jazz, of course. Just Donovan Mitchell just going off for 36-plus points per game. And I've just been seeing a lot of social media, stuff like that, where people are saying the Jazz need to trade Rudy Gobert. And I've looked into it a little bit. And Gobert in the playoffs, he averaged 17 points per game, 11 rebounds per game, and he shot 65% from the field. So I don't think that's really the playoff or the problem. I think they're missing another piece, like the Bucks kind of are. But the thing with the Bucks is that they have Giannis, and that kind of you kind of have two superstars in one with Giannis.
Yeah.
And the Jazz, I don't – Gobert's not really a superstar. He's an all-star caliber center, I would say.
He's an all-star player. He's a good player. I don't know why they'd say to trade him. You know, like, yeah, there's a difference between all-star and superstar.
Yeah, obviously.
Donovan Mitchell, he's becoming a superstar slowly.
Yeah, and some numbers that I saw that I found were kind of curious, where the Jazz's offensive rating when Gobert is on the floor is 114.2, and that totals for second in the NBA. And without him, they go down to the 19th overall rating in the NBA offensively.
Jeez.
And defensively, which that's his strong suit, Rudy Gobert. Is the defensive rating with the Jazz is 108.3 with Rudy, which totals for 7th in the NBA. And without, they're 26th in the NBA.
Wow, so, that's insane.
So you can see how much of an important piece Rudy Gobert is. And another thing with the Jazz is they didn't have Bojan Bogdanovic this year that he missed the playoffs due to a wrist injury. And with Bogdanovic, they had a 41-22 record, which gave them the fourth seed in the right before the shutdown and everything. So, and then they went 3-6 without him. So that shows such an important piece with the Jazz, and the Jazz have some good pieces, that's for sure. But I don't think trading Rudy Gobert is the option.
No, I don't think so. I think, like you said, they do need another piece. You know, they got Conley, they got Mitchell, and Gobert. But you know, you talked about the Bucks. Yeah. Giannis is one of the best players in the NBA, so he kind of counts, like you said, as two, I guess you could say. But
because he's putting up Shaq-like numbers.
Yeah.
Gets into the paint, and it's a bucket.
Yeah, pretty much. And I know I've said this before, but once he develops a jumper and a three-point shot, it's all over. Like,
yeah, that man is going to be – it's going to be crazy.
Yep.
But anyway, Fast Five, you already know the routine. Five questions as we try to answer as quickly as possible. And speaking of Rudy Gobert, the numbers that I showed you, Nathan, that I told you about, and people listening, should the Jazz trade Rudy Gobert?
No. I don't see what do they want in return, though? Like, they're going to get draft picks and stuff, but go ahead.
I was just about to tell you, Rudy Gobert, in a way, is like an Andre Drummond. They're not great floor spacers, and they don't really have a jump shot. And you saw what the Pistons got in return for Andre Drummond, which I did not mind because they're all expiring deals and that just clears up a whole bunch of cap, where they got John Henson, Brandon Knight, and a second-round pick. You're not going to get much for Rudy Gobert,
yeah,
I'm telling you
that. But see, when you put him like an Andre Drummond with a good team and you surround him with talent, not just like Blake Griffin, like how the Jazz have obviously – they've surrounded Gobert with talent with Donovan Mitchell, Mike Conley, you know, those players. I think it's beneficial to the team for sure, because like you said, that style of play is over. You're not going to get anything in return for him. I don't think there's no point in trading him in my mind.
Yeah, it's really not. And you look to an old draft pick that the 76ers made in Jahlil Okafor. Okafor's drafted 20 years prior to him. He's probably a Hall of Fame post player.
Yeah,
but he got in at the wrong time. And he's without a contract. So
yep.
So there's that. Second question. I talked about the Miami Heat a little bit earlier ago. What is the window for the Miami Heat to win a championship with this current team?
With the current team?
Yes. Like say they made no crazy offseason trades. Say they made no crazy free agent signings. What do you think their window is?
Probably 2 or 3 years, because Goran Dragic is, what, 24, I believe? And
did you say Goran Dragic was 24?
No, I meant 34. I meant 34. I don't know what I'm thinking. Jesus
Christ. Yes, he's 34.
Yes, I know. I know he's not 24. He's been with them forever. Jesus Christ. But, no, he's 34. Is Jimmy Butler 30 yet? Because I know he's not as young.
Yes,
he's
exactly 30.
So, I give him 2 or 3 years, because I think Dragic really is a key point at part of that team. I think he gets slept on a lot, and he's been putting up damn good numbers so far in the playoffs, averaging more than 20 points a game. Like I said, he's 34. I give this current team as it is, with no changes, I'd say after this season, 2 years maybe.
fair point. I would agree. I would agree with that. But if you had a, if you get rid of a few guys, some bad contracts.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Yeah, if you get rid
of... Iguodala. But we obviously, like an Iguodala contract, I don't think is fantastic. And he's 36. I could see this window expanding a little bit more because of the young players they have. And they have a great scout team in Miami, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
So they'll add some more talent like that. Third question. Surprised that Lionel Messi is not going to City and will stay at Barcelona?
Not really, to be honest with you. I mean, I thought it was going to take a miracle for City to pull off a move, with considering how much it's going to cost them. But no, I'm not surprised at all.
I would agree with that as well. $700 million release clause, making like almost $1 million a week off endorsements and everything. But his contract with, if it's just soccer, it's over $600,000 a week.
That's just insane, man.
Do the Tigers make the playoffs? They made a little bit of a run, winning six straight.
Yeah, they're at 500 right now, actually.
17-17?
I don't think they will. I think, you know, they're playing the Twins now in a five-game series, which is going to be key to see if, you know, they're actually going to be for real. I don't think they're going to be able to pull it off. I hope I'm wrong, but nah, I think they're going to fall maybe five or six games short of the playoffs, but not like 15 or 20 like we expected.
So you think the Tigers will be, you think they're pretenders or contenders?
Oh, they're pretenders. That team, it's so bad. It's not like, okay, sure, they're 17-17. But when you actually watch the games, and it's not good baseball, believe me.
All right, last question. I mean, you are the baseball nerd.
Oh, thank you for that.
Last question. Will the Houston Rockets have the same problem we saw with the Nuggets and Clippers yesterday? Meaning that you just came off a hard-fought seven-game series, and the other team is coming off almost a five-day, six-day. You could even say the Lakers had a much longer break than the Clippers did.
Yeah, and I honestly am not sure because, you know, the Rockets, you know, they're going to be fatigued. There's no doubt about it. They've only – well, they played Wednesday night with Game 7. But I don't know. They could take that momentum over and then – beat the Lakers, because again, if the Lakers haven't played in a week, you know, they're kind of out of, you know, into that schedule where you're playing every other day. However, though, I do think it's going to affect the Rockets tonight. They'll be a little fatigued. I don't expect them to get blown out though, like the Clippers did on the Nuggets last night.
Yeah, imagine you go seven game series in round one and a seven game series in round two. That would suck.
That's brutal.
Yeah, that should do it for everything. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Nathan, like to add anything before we leave?
Nope, that's it. Thanks for listening.
All right, until next time. See you.